few weeks ago, for whatever reason or no reason, I skipped over the last two verses of the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel. I want to go back and pick those up tonight. And hopefully next week we'll move on over into the 10th chapter beyond where we've been. Mark 9, verses 49 and 50. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how will you season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace with one another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In these two short verses, we have what William Barclay called among the most difficult passages in the New Testament to interpret. This is surely true if we try to tie these three statements together. But if we look at them individually, they have a clear message for us. And I want us to look at them in turn tonight. First, in verse 49, as the King James Version has it, everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice will be salted with salt. Under the Jewish law and sacrificial system, every sacrifice had to be salted with salt, called the salt of the covenant, before it could be offered to God. Now, when Jesus says everyone shall be salted with fire, he's saying, in effect, that before Christian life becomes acceptable to God, it must be treated with fire as every temple sacrifice has to be treated with salt. What does it mean? In ordinary New Testament language, fire is connected with two things. First, fire is connected with purification. It was used to purify and refine base metals. For us, fire symbolizes everything which purifies our lives, such as the discipline of by which we conquer sin and the experience that strengthens our soul. When we have been salted with fire, we've been purified by obeying God and clinging to God's guiding hand. Over the last several years, I don't know just how long, there has come a phrase to be in common usage which I've never known what it means. I've asked several people what they mean by it, and nobody ever gave me a good answer. But quite often, you ask somebody how they're doing, they say, well, I'm hanging in there. Anybody here got a good idea what that means? I'm hanging in there. Where is that and what you hanging on to? You know, there's an old gospel song from the country that goes, cling to, hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Don't just hang in there, but hold to God's unchanging hand. Purified, cleansed, hold to God's unchanging, guiding hand. But fire is also connected with destruction. Here, perhaps Jesus is saying, our salting with fire is enduring the persecution that often comes to the lot of the Christian simply because they belong to Christ. Thus, when we've been salted with fire, we've been purified, and we have faced persecution and remain faithful to God. Verse 50, in the first part, he says, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, its saltiness, how will you season it? It lends flavor, salt does, and zest to food. We have become aware nowadays of the danger of eating too much salt. I think it's interesting that we in the South usually eat more salt than people in other parts of the country. Way back in the 1950s, I went to Port Belvoir, Virginia to a summer camp, and the cooks were from other parts of the country, and they could not get over how much salt we Southern boys ate. Well, we perspire, and some of us sweat so much we needed more salt. And I can remember getting dizzy spells in the summertime since I've been in the ministry and going to the doctor. He said, eat more salt. And I did, and the dizziness went away. But we know there's danger in eating too much of it. But we also know that most foods just aren't as tasteful without salt in it. I have a dear, dear doctor friend who advocating cutting back on salt. He said one thing he could not eat without salt was tomatoes. He just had to have some salt on his tomatoes. Well, when the Christian loses his saltiness, he loses the good news of the kingdom. When we lose our saltiness, the joy of the faith is lost from our lives. The sparkle goes out of our eyes. The spring is lost from our step. We may continue to carry on the same activities, but there's no zest, no joy, no life in what we do. I remember it now and again. I met with my sisters up in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, one fall years ago, and we went to the little Methodist church there on Sunday morning, and they had a young preacher not long out of seminary, and he had a good message to preach, but he was so enthusiastic about it, I thought he was going to go to sleep before he got through. No zest, no life, no vigor. He'd lost the saltiness if he'd ever had it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We've got something to be excited about, something to tell the world. But also, not only does salt add zest to food. In the days past, and to a lesser degree today, one of the main purposes of salt was and is as a preservative. The fishermen of Galilee used salt to preserve their fish for market. Across the centuries, salt has been used to keep all kinds of meat from going rotten. I well remember as a youth when my dad and I would butcher a hog and dad would cut it up. He would send me with it piece by piece to the smokehouse and I would take salt and rub into every piece of meat and then cover the meat with salt overnight and let the heat get out of it. And the next day, salt it down in a salt box and completely cover it with salt, not letting each piece of meat touch the other. And that would last, that meat would stay good without any refrigeration for months. Salt is a preservative. Some of you here even remember buying salt pork. That's the way it was preserved. Now, in a world that knows much of rottenness and corruption, we, as a salt, are to be the preservers and the keepers of things to keep them from going completely rotten. If we lose our saltiness, we lose our ability to be a cleansing and preserving force. We lose our saltiness when humility gives way to self-assertion, when we cease to bear our cross and follow Jesus, when we become hardened to evil and cease to struggle to right the wrongs in our world. As the salt of the world, we should add flavor and zest to life while we keep it from going rotten. When we lose this ability, we're basically good for nothing. How desperately people who are bored with life and seek thrill after thrill, trying to find something to give life meaning, need the flavor and zest that Jesus gives. How desperately a world that has to a large degree lost its sense of right and wrong and in places has become like a filthy sewer with purity absent and chastity unknown need the purifying, preserving quality of salt that comes only from Jesus. We are to be the salt of the earth. And then the last part of the 50th verse, Jesus says, have salt in yourself. And be at peace with one another. Or to put it another way, unless we have the salt of the Christian gospel, we will not be at peace in our own being, we'll not be at peace in our church, we'll not be at peace in our world. This, William Barclay said, here we must take salt in the sense of purity again. The ancients declared that there was nothing in the world purer than salt because it came from the two purest things, the sun and the sea. The very glistening whiteness of salt was a picture of purity. So this will mean have within yourselves the purifying influence of the Spirit of Christ. Be purified from selfishness and self-seeking, from bitterness and anger and grudge-bearing. Be cleansed from irritation and moodiness and self-centeredness. And then and only then, you'll be able to live with peace with your fellow man. In other words, Jesus is saying, it is only the life that is cleansed of self and filled with Christ which can live in real fellowship one with the other. Now I want to attempt briefly to put these three things together so we might remember them. As I've already said, Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth." Looking at these three statements here in light of that, we see that to be the salt of the earth, first we must be purified by His grace and obey God as we endure persecution. Second, we are to add zest and flavor to life and keep it from going bad. Christian ought to be a joyful people, a happy people, a people that outlive and outlaugh and outlove people that aren't Christian. We're to be those who bring zest and flavor to life and keep it vital and good and alive. And also, we know the peace of God and the peace with God, and peace within ourselves, and peace one with the other. We know the peace with God, peace within ourselves, and peace with others. How wonderful to be bearers of the salt of the Christian gospel. How desperately our world needs to hear this good news today. Christ has come, and we can have life, life abundant, life that's joyful, life that's victorious, life that's pure, life that's transforming, life that's real. Lord Jesus, we do thank You that You came to give us life. Help us to be the salt of the earth. Purified by Your grace, alive in You, at peace, sharing the good news with Your people. And it's in Your name that we pray. Amen.